Greetings, Grandad here, and here to bring you a few things before we kickstart the show today. Firstly, a listener's message to say that the jokes and impressions in this show are simply for the purpose of entertainment and not meant to cause any offense. It would be great if you could take a moment to rate us on Apple Podcast and drop us a review if you are enjoying the show. Find us on our Facebook page, Better Show, and there you will find more spooky tales, both fiction and non-fiction. And lastly, don your tinfoil hats, crack your heads back as far as they will go, and look to the stars, because tonight is going to be a better show.
Imagine that it is nighttime. You are all alone on an overlook that spans hundreds of miles. There, you can not only see the land, but also gain a full appreciation of the universe above you. The stars, they shine bright tonight, almost too bright. You are alone, and yet, you can never be alone ever again. The stars, they seem to be fading, and your vision with them. And with that, you remember exactly where you are.
It's Grandad with episode 22 of Better Show, and today I am joined by the long lost boys. Of course, I'm talking about Badger and Spud.
What's up?
I don't actually remember the last episode you guys were in. I think it's been a while. It was before Christmas, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I nearly died twice, and I think the last one, was it space?
Yeah, the last one that you and I, that we all did together was space, and then, Spud, I had you on an episode that I think you wish you hadn't been on.
yeah, that was a good one.
Alright, so today we are going to be covering the massive topic that is zombies. I feel like it's good to be covering something a bit more lighthearted after episode 21 because we came away feeling a bit sad. So, I understand that you two...
Today's episode is sponsored by coronavirus.
So,
there's an actual link in though. So, you know how the coronavirus was like massively spread around?
Yeah.
Really, really like zoom link. In China, where it actually all started, is the same place where they have a medical facility.
Yeah, there's a fish market next to a medical facility, like not like a street away or something like that. Yeah.
And their logo is the Umbrella Corporation's
logo.
Oh, yeah.
They've got it inverted, but with green and white instead of red and white.
Oh my god. How
convenient is that?
No, the Umbrella Corporation is the facility in Resident Evil that was doing health testing, trying to make cures and stuff that then ended up making a T-virus. And ironically, the name of the facility is also... What was it the name of the facility? Oh no, Corona. Corona itself is an anagram of raccoon, which is the city that the Umbrella Corporation...
Oh, brilliant.
Oh, no.
That's a scary link to the past.
And the whole inverted thing, that's just basically what the Satanists did with the Christian church, where they just inverted the crucifix, and that became their kind of symbol.
Yeah, very right so. Apparently they've got no links. They like it wasn't trademarked, and they didn't think about it, but they just have the same logo as the Umbrella Corporation, which is...
Because isn't there a theory that the Chinese created the coronavirus and then it somehow got out and some individual...
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's alongside that whistleblower, because there was the whole thing about... Oh, I'm going to butcher his name. Is it Dr. Liu? L-E-I-U? He originally he was a teacher, like, because he has actually passed now. But when he was working, he was warning his students about this potential virus that he'd noted coming in that was behaving like SARS. And it was the coronavirus, and he started talking about it. But the government started basically saying, look, you're spreading misinformation and causing panic, and they were trying to get him done. He then got the virus himself, was put into quarantine, and they were still not talking about it, and it was going for like 3 weeks before it was actually announced. Yeah. And then he actually
went to China afterwards, after the outbreak. It's like... it's like the aftermath of Chernobyl. You just got men in, and they're just spraying allies, you know, into like schools and things like that, and just spraying classrooms or something like that. You know, it's real scary stuff, to be honest.
Yeah.
Mm. So
it's nuts.
So in this episode, I feel like you guys are probably going to be bringing most of the facts, but we're going to be covering zombies in media as well as zombies in the real world and our possible plans for dealing with the zombie apocalypse, because I know that most of my friends have their own idea about what they might do in that particular situation. The first thing, though, I was going to bring up, though, is a fact that says, although George, I think it's Romero's, 1968 film, Night of the Living Dead is often considered
the grandfather of zombies.
It's considered the first original zombie film. The first actual appearance was actually 40 years earlier than that, with The White Zombie, starring as an evil kind of voodoo priest who zombified a beautiful young lady.
That's actually an interesting point, because where you said it was with voodoo.
Yes.
As the voodoo is voodoo culture very much. Is it Haiti? Is that how you pronounce it? I'm not good at geography. But they fully believe in zombies and reanimating corpses. Very much believe that they used to do it for slave labour, which is quite fun.
Yeah, because I suppose if you've got a population that's died out, you could then reanimate them and they'd become a disposable workforce. So you then wouldn't have to feed, at least not the same kind of thing, and you wouldn't have to... They wouldn't have the same rights.
No.
The end of Shaun of the Dead makes a lot of sense now.
Yeah. So
it's just interesting how you look at it, because there's so many different classifications of zombies, and throughout the media and the way that the films have gone and kind of grown with age. I mean, if you look at it, and it was on something like 28 Days Later, although it is technically not a zombie one, it was very much perceived as a zombie film when it was just a rage virus. You then have things like The Walking Dead, where zombies very much portrayed as slow but strong. They kind of like rotting corpses that are just animating and trying to think.
Yeah.
You then got Resident Evil, once again, going back to the T-Virus, you've got a whole variety of zombies through that, whether it be dog zombies or, like, mutated bodies. I think depending on what kind of zombies you actually were faced with depends on how you'd actually deal with them.
Yeah. So I've got a list of all the different, or some of the types of zombies here. You've got things as simple as the walkers, runners, voodoo zombies, which you brought up, the Romero zombie, and ghouls, to name a few.
Yes.
So you've got the kind of cliche brain eaters, but I was wondering if you two, out of all the zombie adaptations that we've had and depictions of a zombie, what would be your favourite kind of zombie?
Well, mine have to be like any form of runner, because in terms of like the horror suspense aspect, I reckon there's just so much. And to picture it, like the tunnel scene in 28 Days Later, you've got them trapped or a flat tire or something, and you've got this beautiful like shadows see them, but they are pelting their way towards the main characters. I think that's just so scary.
Yeah.
Just to think that very soon they will be with you. Whereas if they were like walking zombies, you'd have quite a lot of time to fix up your tire and get on your merry way.
Can I just, like, when you say what's your favourite zombie, are we talking like what we find is the coolest, or the favourite that we're like, hey, I could probably survive against that one, so that's my favourite?
More which one we like to see on screen, not the one that we'd most like to be put up against.
So just our favourite. I mean, yeah. I know it's a bit cliche because I'm a massive gamer as it goes, so Resident Evil is very much a strong one, but Left 4 Dead, Left 4 Dead as a game, those zombies, they don't even want to eat you. They are just coming to rip you apart.
Like, yeah.
They're all dead. They all come back. You've got the mutated ones, so you've got the charges, you've got the tank, which would totally be me, big muscular muscle boy. So they come running and screaming at you like, and, you know. You then had the spitters, which were just like throwing up like stomach acid. Yeah. So you're not even just like fearful that they're going to try and kill you. They're actually melting you at the same time.
Hmm.
The jockeys, that I don't understand their purpose. They just like to ride. they just want to man you and ride you to...
I like to think that the jockeys would probably try and like rip your head off like Predator style with your spinal cord.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then somehow drive you with your spine. It'll become like your own joystick. They just stick their hands into your neck hole and then just steer the rest of your body.
Oh, actually, no, take it back. I know my favourite.
Yeah.
Because it's one that is very, very close to being... It's a legitimate thing. Mm-hmm. The Last of Us.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, forget that.
Having The Last of Us zombie virus, with the way that it goes, it's essentially a spore. Similar to... It's actually based off a real virus that only affects arachnids and, I believe, insects.
Okay.
It's so cool in the way that it grows, because it doesn't just infect the body, but it starts spreading and deforming and causing kind of like fungi to like grow out of the face orifices, if you will. And it's just...
And there's like an evolution with it as well that you see, because you've got the regular newly infected runner people, then the clickers, which are like, you know, been there for a while, then you've got the I can't remember what they're called, but I think they're like bloaters or something like that, and they're the big chunky boys that have just been infected for a long time.
I can't pronounce this for a day in my life, so I'm going to post it into our little message chat, and I'm going to get you guys to try and pronounce it.
Oh, piss off.
No, go for it. Try it, see if it's... Give it a go, see where it goes.
Cordyceps. 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 Oh, there's more!
Cordyceps unilateralis.
Yeah, that.
And it's a very, very, very real... Like, I'm trying to get some... But to be fair, we can post some images alongside our Facebook page.
Yeah.
Give you some ideas of what this real virus looks like, because it's so grim. And the way that the virus actually affects the arachnids and the insects is, after it's actually taken over their body, it will turn them into... It'll walk around, find the best position to get in, and then just break out of its body.
Yeah.
And start spreading its spores even more. It's like highly, highly contagious, and it just, like, it's gross, but amazing.
So it's a cross between zombies and also alien.
Yeah. Yes, very much so.
Yeah, I think out of all the zombies that I can think of, at least within media, the one that springs to mind as my personal favourite would be the Flood from Halo.
Oh, yeah.
So for those who don't know, it's an intergalactic parasite that usually has a host that's known as, at least within the game series, as the Gravemind, which looks like a giant meaty Viennese flytrap. And the purpose of the Flood is to spread out and eat and consume. They do consume, and then, like, say if the Flood was in just a basic room, it would then cover it with its kind of flesh spores. But also it released these small carrier spores that go and infect people, reanimate them, and then the Gravemind will then have control over what is left of that individual, be it either human or alien.
Tell you another interesting type of... I suppose they're kind of like zombies. They were in the game The Evil Within, And all of that is based in the mind of, like, this one small, like, young lad. Mm. But he's, like, it's like a network that connects people, like, in their brains, and they're kind of, like, going to a comatose state. But all these people who are connected were then twisted by this young boy's, like, horrible sort of, like, traumatic vision, and they all eventually turned into these ghoul-like zombie beings, which I thought was really cool. Because it's not actually physical in the real world, but if you become one of those things, I think you're basically fucked in real life. You just die. You go brain dead.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Okay.
I was going to say, I have very horrific memories of playing the first Halo, and I think it's something to be said about zombies. Like, if you look at zombies in daylight, it's one thing. Then take it into nighttime, and it's completely different.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of the things that you encounter the flood, you're going down into essentially what is a labyrinth. It's one of the big bits on the first Halo.
Yeah.
And you've got nothing but your flashlight. There's no lights. And all of a sudden, you can see the little parasitic floods, like the little bulbs just crawling towards you. And you're like, oh, okay, shoot a couple of those. It's fine. Mm. You walk down and turn the corner, and one of your fellow soldiers, like one of the humans, has just been completely taken over and is like screaming at you, trying to kill you, and just absolutely horrific.
I think that was what the appeal was for that particular spawn of zombie. But also there was an episode or film that was made around the Halo series called The Mona Lisa, which was a more kind of gory version telling the Halo story. And I think the general premise was it was a prison ship that came across a escape pod that had someone who was dying inside, and that individual was carrying the flood. And a new breakout occurred because of that. And then you had the kind of chemistry between the guards and the prisoners, because obviously the prisoners probably had their own selfish agenda at hand. And the guards also had that as well, because it was just their job to look after the prisoners, but that wasn't at the expense of their own life.
Yeah. Which is kind of... I mean, it's somewhat at the expense of their own life.
Yeah, but not to the point of being face-eaten by an intergalactic parasite.
Yeah.
So there's a game that I've been playing for a year or so now, and I was wondering if either of you come across it. 7 Days to Die.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard of it, yeah.
So for those out there who haven't played the game or have any previous knowledge on it, 7 Days to Die is very similar. It works off a very similar premise to Minecraft, in the sense that you are put in essentially a never-ending sandbox, and you're able to build whatever you like from it. The only difference is that building in 7 Days to Die takes a lot fucking longer. So I think when you start out with a bandage, 2 cans of beans, some water, and a map, and I think that's literally all you have.
Yeah.
And you could spawn in random areas, so the best area to spawn is either on the on the outside of the desert, or any kind of woodland, because your other choices are a frozen wasteland, toxic and otherwise radiation high areas, and also an area that kind of looks like low budget Mustafar, where it's just kind of on fire but not really. And you have all the different types of zombies there as well. But the reason why it's called 7 Days to Die is because on the night of every single seventh day, there is a blood moon, and hordes of zombies will be automatically attracted to your location. So you have 7 days in order to build up your defences, get weapons. You still encounter zombies, and during the night, by default, they run instead of during the day, where they just kind of slump along.
It's also worth noting that they are stupidly so. Like, you can spend the whole of your day going, yeah, I've built a really nice house today, and they will come destroy that house. They will pull everything down.
Yeah, I think that's
what makes them assholes.
I think that's the part of the game that I really enjoy, that the fact that they can interact with any environment that you've built. So they'll tunnel, they'll dig, they'll climb. Somehow, though, my friend and I, when we were playing a year or so ago, we managed to build a house that they couldn't navigate, which was hilarious.
That's interesting.
So it was a two-floored house, and it was all made out of wood, and the stairwell to get up to the top floor was in the centre of the house, but it led the only space at the bottom of the stairs to the wall was one block wide. And the zombies just kept on running past the stairs. They couldn't figure out how to get up the stairs. So that was quite beneficial for us, but they were still able to get into the bottom of the house, despite the fact that we'd put a load of spikes and other defences around the property.
Yeah. To be fair, there's quite a common theme amongst a lot of zombie films and games, that they tend to be mindless. They tend to be like sprinting and running and trying to just kill as a whole, with no goal other than to feed or to kill. I think it was one of George R. R. Romero's. I think it was. It's not Day of the Dead. It might be Day of the Dead actually. The one that's got Bub.
Yeah, Day of the Dead. Yeah.
Day of the Dead. And that one was really interesting because during the film, there's a whole bunch of scientists doing research with these zombies, and they've got several, and they actually named one of them Bub. And although the army soldiers are absolute arseholes and, like, are awful, this one scientist is continuously feeding Bub and trying to communicate with him and talk to him. And during the course of the film, slight spoiler warning, by the way, it gets to a point where the zombies from the outside of the facility have started going rampant. They managed to start breaking in, and one of the soldiers comes down and tries to kill Bub, and I think the scientist kind of detests against it. He's like, no, you can't, you shouldn't kill him because he's showing signs of being able to communicate. He's clearly not like the others.
Yeah.
And then the army guy ends up killing the scientist, and Bub manages to break out, actually picks up a gun, ends up shooting the army soldier that killed the scientist. And I thought it was although he's still a zombified state, it shows that, you know, that there was this comparative that actually, although he is a zombie, not all zombies are just mindless.
Yeah, there was a film that I think was a bit more recent that ran off a similar premise, where the zombie apocalypse had already happened, but the military had managed to set up various bases around the world. And one of these bases, it contained a group of children that had all been infected by the virus, but hadn't yet fully turned. So when they were...
Oh, was that the girl with all the gifts?
Yes. Yeah, that, I think that was the one. Yes, I think that was the one. So she
and the virus was kind of like also like The Last of Us. It was kind of like a spores type of virus,
yeah,
kind of fungi infection or something like that.
Yeah. So she would, they would all react in a zombie kind of state whenever there was blood or flesh exposed to them. But apart from that, they all seemed like relatively normal children. But they were treated with some serious distance by most people. And didn't the zombies break into the facility, and then a team, including that little girl, broke free? And there was one scene where she went up against a load of other zombie children that had fully changed when they went further into the city. And they'd previously killed one of the members of the team. And she went at them with a baseball bat. I've only ever seen that film halfway through, so I'm not sure on the finer details.
There's another film that I think you'd really like. I'm struggling to remember what it's called, so Spell, I'm going to rely on you for this one. It's one that's set in Ireland, I believe, and although the concept's actually post-outbreak, or somewhat post-outbreak, and they've actually started managing to cure some of the people.
Oh, was that the one with Ellen Page?
I think so.
Yeah, that was a weird film.
If you'd been infected, they could see something in your eye. You had like a mark in the back of your eye, so you, like, they'd know if you had previously been a zombie. But it was people were almost, racist isn't the word to go for, but there was a massive discrimination against the people who'd been zombies, because although they had no control over their body, and they did truly horrific things like ripping apart their families and eating them and doing all that stuff, they had full memory of doing it. They were literally just trapped in the body. As a zombified state, they were perfectly aware, and it was only after that they were cured that they had control of their body back. And it is a really, really interesting film, kind of looking at the different take of, you know, are zombies still conscious?
Yeah. Did you say that was Eleanor Page that was in that?
Ellen Page, yeah.
Is that The Cured?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. I just found a couple of snapshots.
I recommend it. It's an absolutely brilliant film.
Okay.
But I don't want to say how it ends, because one, it made me angry, and two, it's spoilers, so not going to touch on that.
No, that's fair enough. So I think one of the first exposures I ever had to zombies, because I came into it a bit late. And coming from, I think I've said this on a Better Show before, I came from kind of like a Church of England primary school background, so I didn't have much exposure to the dark media, even though zombies have been used in a more kind of slapsticky way as well, like with things like Shaun of the Dead. But the first exposure I had to them was the first iteration of Nazi Zombies. Which I still retain is the best Nazi Zombies. That first map where you're in that wooden house and there's definitely the best iteration of Nazi Zombies. But because there have been films as well. I don't know if I've got a list of the films. There's one called Horrors of War that's a Nazi zombie kind of themed film. Dead Snow as well. So what do you think the fascination is between combining the Nazis with zombies?
I reckon it's the idea of war itself, like 20th century was pretty much the most bloodiest century, like in terms of body count and things like that, and the most notable war would be World War II, as it's our most recent war as well, like full-scale war. And I reckon the idea that Nazis were the kind of, like, you know, a force to be reckoned with at the time, and they had numbers, they had firepower and things like that, and there's of course always talks of, like, you know, the sort of science that they would do on the side, you know, all the, like, really fucked up shit that they would experiment on. I reckon that is, like, a huge source of inspiration for the Nazi zombie sort of genre. I can't
remember how accurate it is, but I do remember, through reading various bits of World War II, there was actually several points that it was one of Hitler's aims with all of the, you know, how he'd set up all the concentration camps and things. It was that he was trying to look into potentially a way, like he was demanding that he wanted more troops, even if he had to use the dead. And there was a big outlet there, but I haven't looked too far into that.
Well, Hitler had a load of pursuits that were into the kind of mysterious and the supernatural, because he wanted to look for the Holy Grail, wasn't there? A pursuit for that for quite some time. And the Ark of the Covenant and things like that, where he was looking at experiments and things outside of traditional science.
I mean, he was a big fan of his science, but oddly enough, not things that were science-based.
So taking this more into, if we can, with zombies, more into the realm of reality, I was wondering what... Because, like I said at the beginning of the episode, I feel like everyone has, perhaps not written out, but a plan in mind of what would happen if there was an apocalypse situation, and specifically around a zombie apocalypse situation.
I'll all the tools I can from my shed and just, like, arm myself with...
Strap them together into one almighty tool.
I mean, I managed to pick up a steel baseball bat from a charity shop for £1, so that's currently beside my bed at all point, just for protection from the zombies, if ever needed. But it's, there's a very interesting point that comes along, because alongside the literature, so you've got stuff like the Zombies, the Survival Guide to Zombies, or the Zombie Survival Guide, and various other books, and it's always interesting, because in the media, you always see, like, people, like, pulling off, what's it, actual... This is Evil Dead, where he's got chainsaws and all sorts of things. And through the Zombie Survival Guide, they actually talk about, you know, there are certain things that you should and should not take because of how much it's going to weigh you down, what the chances of the resources and when they're going to run out and stop working. I have a couple of swords, and I'm fairly sure none of them are actually battle-ready. But I'm fairly sure they would be my first go-tos alongside the steel baseball bat. It's very good for bludgeoning.
Yeah,
I feel. I think there's a more important question to answer first, though.
Yeah, go for it.
So, we all know that we want to survive, right?
Yeah.
What's the one place you don't want a zombie to eat you on? Like, if they get you, where do you want them to get you? Like, what's the? Because let's face it, if they get your leg, they're gonna pull down your leg, pull off your limbs, and you pull your muscles apart, and they're gonna make their way up your body. That's gonna be painful, right?
Oh, okay. So it's not necessarily where we want the bite to happen. It's if we're going to die. Like, these fuckers are gonna kill us. There's no way of going back. Where would we most prefer they attack?
I'd rather them go for my neck, because I reckon, because zombie bite, like, if you're being bitten and stuff, depending on the amount of zombies. If it was, say, just a one zombie, I would at least hope it goes for my neck, because I reckon that would be possibly the quickest way to die in that circumstance.
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna ask my Google how long it takes to bleed out.
Shall we wait for the black helicopters to arrive then, or for the police to turn up?
If you're assuming. Amazing. Oh, 5 minutes bleeding. Okay, so them going for your neck isn't necessarily a good...
What about a Game of Thrones style eye press? So my head explodes.
Oh no, because that was very much in 28 days and
28 days later. Yeah,
that's a very common theme. I don't like that. No, stay away from my eyes. I don't care if I'll die quick. No, you wouldn't even die quickly. Just be painful.
Yeah, but it depends how quickly they do it. If they went straight for the eyes and then it was like a 2 second thing before your head exploded, then it would be pretty quick.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, it's a common theme with slower zombies is that although they're slow, the strength that they have is unrestricted human strength. So whatever the muscle capacity is, so even like your fingers, the grips that they have, is almost like deadlock. It grips and grips. So the force that they'd have for pressing in would be really fast.
Yeah.
But how easy is it to snap a bone without using your knee? Or it's quite a lot of pressure, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Hey, Spud, can I break the...
I mean,
for science.
I feel like, though, in you asking that question, were you wanting me just to say I don't want them to go for my dick?
I mean, to be fair, if they could avoid eating my balls, I'd be very appreciative of that.
Yeah,
that
yeah. I feel like though, I'm only using my knowledge from Shaun of the Dead, but also one of the first times I saw film gore. And they did it really, really well. I guess you know which scene I'm referring to, when they're in the Winchester and that the guy who's refusing to fight gets like dragged out of the window and his insides get torn out.
Yeah, no, that was
so funny. The way his legs just like pop off. They don't rip off, they just sort of go.
It's interesting to know, because if you look at something like the amount of how quickly you would die there is between two different things, because everybody has a different pain threshold. You can pass out from withstanding too much pain, which is a very real thing. However, people who get shot in the stomach by a shotgun, that's one of the worst ways to go, because there's no fixing it. Your stomach gets all mushed up, and the bleed out time is once again like between 5 minutes.
Yeah,
that's quite long, you know.
But my thought behind that was, though, that would you go into shock if you were to go for a similar kind of attack? Not from the shotgun, but from the basically having your innards torn out.
Depends on how much you can scream. I mean, if you're screaming and you're aware of it, then it's going to be a lot worse. Because I don't know, have you ever had like the perfect cut before? That's going to sound really bad. Like,
yeah, that does sound quite bad. What do you mean by that, the perfect cut?
So the perfect, so it's sometimes if there is such a clean cut, like if you've been like stabbed or like cut in such a way, you don't feel it. There is nothing there. Like it's such a clean cut that you just don't even notice it's happened. It's only once you look at it and you're kind of like, ah, shit, like it starts and you're like, oh, fuck. And then it really starts to hurt. Like there's a certain bit to be said for, you know, would you actually notice? Like if a zombie scratched you and you didn't notice.
But I suppose you'd also be, if you were to encounter a zombie or zombies, you'd probably be running off quite a lot of adrenaline and you probably wouldn't recognise the scratch until it was too late.
Okay. I mean, sorry to bring it back down to the depressing level, but if I couldn't find a gun, or if I knew, had a gun and only had so many limited rounds, if I found myself in a situation where it was really, really, really like, I was about to be eaten and there was definitely no way out, I'd definitely take myself out. Like
I'd hope that if that happened to me, I would be surrounded by explosives so I can take some of them with me.
Yeah. And then it would be at least a lot quicker death than being torn apart.
Yeah. And they get a free snack as well. Like, they don't have to work for it. You're leaving your corpse.
And you've been nicely barbecued as well.
Yeah, you're pre-cooked.
If you blow yourself up.
I don't think any zombie's going to be like, I wanted him blue, not medium rare.
You get what you're given, Travis.
I'm fairly sure explosives don't cook. very well. Just
this will be nice and warm.
Oh, Badger, well, you clearly haven't eaten charred person before, because...
You know what? Actually, haven't.
Ah, it's a treat.
I need to find myself a Hannibal. That's what I need. I need somebody who is, you know...
Yeah.
Proficient.
A connoisseur of people eating.
There's a
taboo with people eating anyway. Like there would be no world hunger if we could just eat people. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think there'd be a couple of uprisings and a few people, you know, raising a few eyebrows. But it reminds me of a question. I can't remember, Badger, if I asked you when we first met. I tend to make it a bit of a habit of asking people this question when I first meet them.
Is this the clone question?
Yeah. If you had the ability to clone the biological makeup of your own flesh, would you eat it?
I would totally eat me.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember being asked this. I'd give it a go. I'd cook it myself at first.
Yeah, because you can absolutely cook it and season it. There's no problem.
When you asked the question, I wasn't assuming it was going to be raw. Like, I don't like sushi as dip.
No. You can cook it and stuff, but it is your flesh.
Yeah, like I've chewed on my hand before.
This is why we tell you, Badger, to not come into work with bloody stumps, but you won't listen to us.
Always. Oh, no.
No.
It's amazing that man can keep coming back like that.
You have some real kind of Deadpool rejuvenation properties there.
Or just walk into work wearing a necklace of fingers. And people ask you, what the hell are you doing? You'll be like, it's all right, they're my fingers.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a point, though. That's actually slightly more horrific, though. Have you ever read, was it DC Black and Marvel's, I can't remember what it's called now, there's several graphic novels and comics, where, essentially one for the DC universe and then one also for the Marvel, where the superheroes actually get infected by zombie viruses and they slowly, one by one, get turned and they're trying to fight against a zombie virus. But some of them have already fallen. So there's like a point where there's like a zombie Hulk running around. And they're like, how are we going to do with it?
Yeah, I've got the Marvel one. I haven't read it yet, but I don't have the DC one.
The DC one is pretty grim.
Yeah, I'd imagine out of the two, that the Marvel one would probably be the more upbeat one and the DC less so.
If Deadpool did become a zombie, that is the worst situation for anyone.
I reckon to some extent he already is a zombie.
Mm.
No, but I mean, like, if he actually went actual zombie, you couldn't kill him. You cut off his head, it comes back. Like, you know.
Yeah.
There's no ending him. You could destroy the head and he's just going to come back.
It reminds me of the quote from Shaun of the Dead, removing the head or destroying the brain.
Destroying the brain.
I feel like, because we haven't actually talked about it at all, and I feel like it's a bit of a crime that we haven't, even though the series has become very kind of samey. The Walking Dead.
Oh, God.
I briefly mentioned it earlier. I mean, I very much enjoy it.
Yeah.
Although it is worth noting that it's not necessarily about the zombies, but the politics of how humans would survive after the zombies.
I don't know when the next season's out, but I am not looking forward to it because I know I'm going to watch it. But it's just, oh, it's bad. It's so fucking shit right now.
To be fair, The Walking Dead, I very much stopped enjoying, mostly because they did kill off Glenn and it was going to happen, but it's not been anywhere near as good since Glenn died.
Yeah.
And the one that I actually really, really enjoyed was actually the spin-off, which was Fear the Walking Dead.
I'm still quite enjoying that right now. I'm not sure when the next one's out, but it's actually like, doing alright.
Okay.
I feel that one had a lot more to it. It feels so much different to The Walking Dead.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, now they've got characters from The Walking Dead in Fear the Walking Dead. You got, what's his name? Dwight, and you got, what was his name? Lenny James's character, Morgan, that was it. Yeah, he's in it.
Okay. Because there was, There was a series, I think it was on Netflix, called Black Summer.
I have watched that one.
Yeah, that one was interesting.
Because those zombies, they were slightly different in that it wasn't it that if you got a cut, it was almost like the black spot with pirates. If you got a cut, then the ghost of whoever would find you. But with this, if you got a cut or a bruise or something, you would then turn. It wouldn't necessarily be a zombie attack that would turn you.
Yeah, which is interesting.
That, to me, almost sounds like The Walking Dead's premise, but in a different light. Because obviously in The Walking Dead, you have lots of walkers and you have these creatures that stumble around.
Mm.
In Black Summer, they are fast and they kind of hunt away. However, if you don't need to be bitten to turn, there is... I think in The Walking Dead, they said it was already airborne. Like, whatever the virus was, they were technically already all infected. It's just whether you get put into a state where the virus can then evolve and manipulate and kind of progress further.
Yeah. So there was a really interesting bit of filming that they did with Black Summer that I personally haven't seen with any other kind of zombie media, where they're... The series is shot very similar to Dunkirk, where
it's like you're seeing things from different perspectives.
Yeah, it's the same story, but it's from different perspectives. So one of the perspectives is of this young girl who gets run down within the first 3 seconds of her being on screen, and then she becomes a zombie, but the camera still follows her, and it's just her mindless pursuit for flesh, but... It was really interesting to see the different decisions the zombie made from that zombie's perspective.
Yeah.
Which is not often a view that we get. It's usually from the survivors instead of the zombie themselves. And there was one other zombie film that I came across, and I only watched half of it, but it was a Japanese one, I believe, and it was where they were all stuck on a train.
Korean. Train to Busan.
Yes.
Was it Korean?
It was Korean.
Okay, Jack, the other place.
Busan's in Korea. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it was a Korean film.
Yeah, they're doing a sequel to that. Actually, it's called Peninsula.
Is it going to be on Southeastern Rail?
Funny. If anybody's seen it, I don't understand how they're going to do a sequel.
Well, the first one, I watched a video on it the other day, actually. It was some guy was analysing the film, saying how that film, as a zombie film, is really good in terms of showing what Korean life is like, in terms of, like, the class divide and things like that. Because you got a homeless man, for one, and you got, like, the main character, he's a businessman and stuff like that, and he's, you know, he cares very much about his job and stuff, and he has a slight disconnect with his daughter and things like that. But when, obviously, the outbreak happens, he's, you know, making, like, decisions based on, like, you know, everything he's known about life in general, and he meets new people, and you've got this... guy, you got the, you know, the guy that had a wife and a kid on the way, sort of thing, and he sort of teaches him how to love his daughter, basically. I thought that was really cool to add into a zombie film. It's like, it really added meaning to it.
Because I suppose there's a point where you can't keep on showing mindless zombie attacks. You have to start having some human chemistry, and that in itself makes us care more for the characters, which I sometimes feel like is what is lacking from the Walking Dead series, despite the fact that they have way more screen time to play with, but they keep on introducing characters that we don't get the time in order to understand, nor the writing.
There's so many pointless characters in that show. Yeah, literally, like, there's so many now that it's kind of like, why are you here? Like, unless you're getting killed off, I have no reason to care about you.
Yeah. And I suppose there's one more type of zombie that we haven't yet covered, and that would be the White Walkers from the Game of Thrones series. Which definitely is a new take on...
I think they were so cool.
A new take on the zombie premise.
I'm trying to think... Although they are zombies...
Yeah.
I believe they're technically... I suppose it's going to tie back into kind of like the voodoo connect, but it was... a recurring force. The Night King wasn't somebody who had turned, it was him. Mm. And he could then infect others.
But was it the Night King? Well, I suppose, yeah, it was the Night King directly, because wasn't he the one after the attack on the the Wildling base that he just brought all those people back up?
Yeah, I think that was the first time you ever actually see him use his power like that.
Yeah.
And so that was a real kind of like, oh, God, like, well, this is going to turn shit.
It does raise the question of, like, what was he as a whole?
You don't really know, to be honest.
No. Okay.
But I think that's what made the show interesting. Before the 8th season, like, you don't really know what the Night King was. And I think they did a good job in keeping it that way.
I mean, I'm still a really massive fan on, like, sorry to bring it back around to Resident Evil, but Resident Evil was one of the only ones that is actually, although there is a virus that is a zombie virus, it doesn't just affect humans. The idea that you can have zombie sharks and zombie dogs and, like, weird, like, where the zombies come from. Most expectations, it's so focused on human species, which, to be fair, is understandable, because we fear what is ourselves as a monstrosity. It's one of the reasons why we project so much onto zombies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I love the idea of, like, I can't remember the name of the dogs, but their head, like, splits into, like, four quarters, and they've just got teeth and throat. and
so it's like the dogs from... Really grim. It's like the dogs from Stranger Things.
Yeah, it's pretty much. They just, but they look like dogs, and then their head just splits open, and they scream at you with their weird, gangly, flappy tongue mouth.
Yeah, it's interesting what you're saying about zombie animals, because I'm currently reading one of the popular or more well known horror mongers called Geo, which I'm only 100 pages in, but it shows specifically aquatic creatures that come out of the sea with almost insect like. Tendrils and attachments, but the aquatic creature itself is actually already dead.
Oh.
So it's some kind of force that's driving the legs and the genetic makeup of this already dead sea creature, but I haven't yet got to what that force actually is or what's caused it, whether or not it would actually say it at all. I don't know.
But, so I suppose if you're categorizing them, you've got, like, zombie, or we'll call it like category A, your standard walkers, there is a virus that comes through and reanimates dead bodies.
Yeah.
You then got category B, where there is a virus that's gone through the air, and necessarily the virus using the body to then just, you know, bite and transfer the virus to the, almost like a parasitic host. So you've got the parasite, you've got the virus, and then you've also got this other, this third category, which doesn't show up too often, but is a force that is essentially reanimating people and spreading their own power through biting people.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the film The Bay?
I want to say I have. It does sound familiar.
It's a really budgety, bad zombie thing. But... I'm going to make sure. Oh no, it's not The Bay on ITV. I'm trying to think. There's a zombie film.
There was one that I found rather bizarre. That was, I think it was called The Resort, and it was based around the, or I can't remember which one was based around which, but it would linked into the video game where you were on a kind of tropical island and there was a zombie horde there. But it was almost
Dead Island.
Yeah,
Dead Island.
But it was almost like that Jurassic Park, amazing. where they ultimately didn't learn their lesson and or know anything about anything. And they created, like, a resort for people to go there and to shoot zombies. It was almost like a zombie safari. And, of course, the zombies would then overwhelm the guards or whatever and break into the facility. And then it was their escape from this place that ultimately welcomed the zombies instead of trying to kill them away.
Sorry, I just realised I've forgotten my favourite zombie film.
Yes, go for it.
It's Wreck. Wreck 1, Wreck 2, Wreck 3, what's that?
Fucking hell.
And also, what was the Quarantine and Quarantine 2, because they were the American
fucking, the Terminal one, the second Quarantine film, terrified me, but no, the first Wreck movie, absolutely phenomenal, a found footage zombie film, like, oh,
And that one, you may enjoy the concept, Grandad, because it's based around Satan.
Oh, nice.
it doesn't really ever fully go into it, but
it's a Spanish movie.
Yes.
Where there was... I can't remember if it was a reported, fire or something had happened in this, a hotel.
Yeah.
This rather small hotel. The news reporter, she goes there, with the firefighters to check it out. But they realise there's no fire or something like that. And there's basically just, a zombie outbreak of some sort in there. But it's kind of a slow progressing one because... they don't immediately give away that they're zombies. It's kind of
there's just this ill lady, and all of a sudden they're being quarantined into this building. Everyone's like, we just want to go home, let us out. And then all of a sudden, I think randomly they hear noises from the top of the hotel because there's this big, spiraling staircase in the center that leads to all the room. Body just falls from the top and slams on the floor. The head explodes and everyone's freaking out. And then slowly, one by one, they all start to get picked up. But then in Rec 2, the main character at the end of Rec 1 ends up kind of escaping, going into a loft and being pulled away by something. And in Rec 2, they start talking, they send a priest in, and there's a priest that goes in with a SWAT team, which is a very interesting concept as a whole to composing forces, because apparently they believe that it's actually Satan, it's a demonic possession, and this virus that's going through is literally the Antichrist, which is quite an interesting concept. They didn't really succeed in that one either. Was it the third one where they're on a boat?
No, that was the fourth one. The third one was the wedding.
Oh, that was a cool one.
Yeah.
So
it had a weird cinematography flip because they went from the standard
found footage thing.
And then it cuts halfway through because the main character has his camera destroyed, and it switches to then just you looking at them, watching them do their stuff.
Okay.
It's just weird. Yeah. That was a good... I think the thing that haunts me about the first Rec movie was sort of it's the shot where the... peer over the top of the stairs and you see loads of all the remaining infected people just peering their heads over the stairwell and looking up at them and then just start running up. Fuck, that was just scary.
It just snaps and they're and they saw it. I think, to be fair, that's more fearful to me than the actual zombies. Not them noticing you and sprinting. In Rec, one of the reasons why I liked it so much is because the first four is, the government and the police are going to try and control this. They're going to try and help and do things. In this situation, all of these people that are the characters that you're watching and that you're going to actually watch go through this journey, they get shut in. They even try to escape through one of the windows and the government are outside shooting at them, saying, stay inside the building. And they're literally in and they're trapped in with this idea of zombie, which is, that's more fearful to me than the actual zombie itself. It's the idea.
It's quite claustrophobic.
It's the people who are supposed to be helping you, forcing you into a state where you're trapped.
I'm bringing it back to a franchise that I don't like talking about all that much, but I'm going to bring it up one last time. And that, of course, is Star Wars. So, I don't know if you guys knew that there is actually a zombie story within Star Wars, or at least was within the original canon.
I was going to say, this is pre-Disney, isn't it?
Yes.
I've read a lot of them. I'm trying to search my knowledge.
So the book that you may remember is a book called Death Trooper.
No, I haven't read that one.
Okay, so Death Trooper, the general premise is that there is a Star Destroyer that is contacted by, I believe, another prison frigate of some kind, which isn't responding, but they require help from this Star Destroyer, and the Star Destroyer is infected by this virus, so when they dock, then you've got zombie stormtroopers and zombie Imperial officers tearing people apart. But, interestingly, what you brought up earlier, Badger, with the kind of necromancy and voodoo side of things, is that the the way that that all started was actually during the time of the Old Republic in a book called Red Harvest, where a Sith magician used Sith magics in order to, I guess, mess around with mortality and human bodies, to the point of where he accidentally created the virus, and that's how it spread out from there.
I just love the idea of a Sith magician just being like, take a card, you take it, and he just stabbed you, like, ha ha, I got you!
Well,
I have the high ground.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Badger, and thank you so much, Spud, for joining me for once again another episode of Better Show, where we have covered zombies.
Yeah. There's so much we can talk on zombies.
Yeah, I feel like we need to choose a particular film or films from zombies.
We will dive into specific, because we haven't even touched on Dead Rising or. Dead Rising is almost comedic inside. We should touch on comedy zombies. That'll be we can start defining them that way.
Yeah, maybe we'll do a separate episode on comedy zombies, and we'll definitely cover things like Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah,
and
Cockney versus zombies
and Zombieland.
The zombie got bit in his head, and they can't actually destroy his head because he had surgery. That was
fun. I haven't yet seen the second Zombieland. Has anyone else seen it?
I haven't. Yes. It's out yet.
Yeah. I think. Yeah. Oh, it was good. It really, really. Oh, not long ago, it really touched on these, like, you know. The first Zombieland had the old, like, the rules sort of thing. There's a lot of that still going on. So
yeah.
There is continuity in all of that, and it is brilliant. I loved it.
That's okay. Cool. Well, thank you very much, both of you, for joining me for another episode. And whether it was day or night, evening or the weekend, we hope you have a very good life and death. And we will see you guys next week for a better show.